Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It is now September 1st. It's Labor Day. And we now have 28 days until the Chicago Bulls training camp opens and officially 30 days until the qualifying offer deadline for Josh Giddey, which still haven't heard anything substantial on movement on the Josh Giddey contract. We're going to talk about what are ahead of the Bulls before the opening of training camp. We're also going to talk about the rumor that the Brooklyn Nets have opened up a roster spot, and could it be for Josh Giddey? We're going to talk about all that, plus the Mitchell Robinson trade and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. We got 28 days. 28 days until Bulls training camp opens up. And then basically only a week or so after that until the Bulls preseason game starts, people are already playing 2K. People are in the basketball mode, right? Despite college football starting, NFL season starting right around the corner, people are really geared in and ready for the basketball season to start. Are the Chicago Bulls ready? That's the question this year. And unfortunately, the Chicago Bulls don't have their starting point guard, Josh Giddey, locked into a deal yet. So how ready could they possibly be? Now, training camp isn't opening. You got 28 days until training camp. And while the official deadline for the qualifying offer is October 1st, I've already said it. I don't believe that Josh Giddey is going to take the qualifying offer. I do think it gets more and more of a feasible opportunity for Josh Giddey to take that as this thing drags on. And all it would have to mean is that Josh Giddey just gets tired of the Bulls bullshit. And he basically says, all right, listen, fuck it. I'm going to take the qualifying offer and I'm not coming back here. I'll negotiate with teams in the offseason. Fuck it, right? That's all it really takes for Josh Giddey to finally just be tired of the Bulls bullshit and moving on. And like I've said many times before, depending on, no matter how you look at it, between the you're on the Bulls side of $20 million, you're on Josh Giddey's at $30 million. And the fact of the matter is both sides are playing hardball right now. And look, congratulations to them doing it. Congratulations for Josh Giddey and his agent to not balk yet at the Chicago Bulls deal and pushing this thing out. Because it could have easily been, okay, the Bulls are only offering this. Let's let this go 30 days. All right, they're not going to budge off the offer. Let's take whatever the best thing is out there. Could have easily been that. Now, I do think that would have not necessarily been the most advantageous thing for the Bulls. For Josh Giddey, it would have just been for the Bulls. But listen, there are options, and we've talked about them. They can take the Bulls offer, whatever their Bulls best full offer is. They can agree to a shorter-term deal. Josh Giddey can hold out a training camp. Or at the end of the day, he can take the qualifying offer. That's really the options here. I do think the qualifying offer, I'm not one of the people who thinks that that's a likely thing. I think you already took it if that's the case with the Bulls not budging off their move. I think that this, to me, shows that Josh Giddey does want some long-term security. But at the same time, it is what it is when it comes down to it. Like, both sides are holding on to their sides of the fence. And good, great, let them do that. And we'll see where it ends up shaking out at. My hope is that both sides have to give up a little bit, because that's where it's a fair negotiation if both sides are giving up a little bit. But like I said, all it takes is for Josh Giddey and his agent to have one meeting and Josh Giddey just to look at it and say, you know what? Fuck it. Let's take the qualifying offer. I'm going to bet on myself. Yeah, the Bulls could try to dick around and maybe not play me in key moments or bench me in certain moments or whatever that could hurt my value out in the market. But listen, I don't think I'm going to get worse than $20 million. And at that point, it's with the team that hasn't dicked me around for over 60 days, right? So that's a prospect of it. The Bulls also, you know, hold on to their standpoint, I guess, and see where it comes down. At the end of the day, for a deal to get done, it means that both sides have to agree to said deal. And as it stands right now, neither side is agreeing to a deal, no matter what that is. They're both sitting there holding on to their fence posts and their goal posts. And cool. But, you know, as training camp approaches, it's hard to say that the Bulls are locked in. We know that we saw the players in Coby White, Patrick Williams, Trey Jones, Dalen Terry. I can't remember if Modest was there or was not. But, you know, we saw the players out to dinner. They're in Chicago. They're probably doing some of their workouts. They're all together. That's good. I don't think that was in Chicago. Maybe they were in a different state. But they're all together doing their unofficial workouts. And it's good that those players are geared up and ready to go for the season and in the mindset, because business as usual for those guys. Kobe and Io got contract seasons coming up. Modest is coming into the second year where he's hoping to take his game to the next level as well. Trey Jones got his deal. He's now going to be the backup point guard for the Chicago Bulls and know that role. Unless something crazy happens, he ends up being the starting point guard, which I don't think that's going to happen. But again, I'm glad that the players aren't allowing this to distract them. And, you know, that says a lot about those guys, how they view things. That doesn't mean that they're not backing their guy in Josh Giddey, but it does mean that, hey, they got to get ready for business. They got to get ready to go to work. And, you know, this is going to be an important training camp period for the Bulls because, you know, the Bulls adding Isaac Okoro to this team, adding some more point of attack defense, Aldazuma being fully healthy. He said on his recent blog post, our vlog post, I guess it is, on his YouTube channel, you know, I believe that the Bulls are making playoffs. You got to believe that we're going to make the playoffs. And, you know, that's good that that's the mindset. And hopefully that reverberates through the rest of the roster. And these guys are geared up, ready to go, and they're ready for a hard fought season and to execute. And the Bulls coaching staff, no matter who's there is not there, you got to draw up the scheme. You got to get these players ready to play your style of basketball that you started establishing last year. And now you got to do it for a second year. Was it a flash in the pan? Or is this now an actual style? The Bulls trying to settle in on an offensive style and flow that's going to help bring some identity to this team. And that's what you got to hope is going to happen here. So, you know, training camp being less than a month away, less than a month for the deadline for the qualifying offer. Again, it could go past. It's just a deadline to sign the qualifying offer. If it goes past October 1st, it means that the only option at that point is a long-term deal. Agreed on somebody's terms. So that is going to be another key date there, because if they go past October 1st with no deal, that means the qualifying offer is no longer on the table for Josh Giddey. That means he's either going to not have a contract for the 2025-26 season, or he's going to eventually agree to a long-term deal on somebody's terms, whether it's his or another player. So, you know, we got a lot of questions coming into this training camp. Of course, the Josh Giddey one is the biggest one. You need your starting point guard. Josh Giddey was so important, despite what some haters will tell you, and to the Bulls establishing their offensive flow. It wasn't just 20-game sample size. It's one of the silliest things I've ever heard. And, you know, you gotta get down to that. You got to get into that nitty-gritty. You got to prepare for the season. And, you know, you got players fighting for the rotation. As I've said before, Dalen, Julian, Patrick Williams, Noah Essengay, those four guys, Smith, right? Those guys, like, they're all fighting for like one additional, that ninth or 10th man in the rotation spot. You got five players fighting for that. And so, like, it's going to be important to see how those guys can come in and be prepared and ready for the season. So, you know, you want whoever comes out of that battle, you want it to be because they fought hard and they snatched that role. Keep in mind, the 10th guy in the rotation, the ninth guy in the rotation is already sometimes a very inconsistent role sometimes under Billy Donovan. So you're already fighting for inconsistencies, and now you got a nice mix of different types of players as far as their play style. Yeah, they're all kind of lengthy, you know, wingy forwards, right? Lengthy forwards, but, you know, they all have different play styles. They all have different strengths. And so that's another thing as far as getting ready for training camp and gearing in and ready to go. Basketball's going to be here before we know. We're going to get about a month of football in before basketball games actually start being played in preseason games. But you're right there. You're right at the cusp of it. And are the Bulls going to be ready for it? That's a huge question that I have here. The starting three, the ninth and 10th spot in the rotations, these are some of the biggest questions for the Bulls coming into that. And you got a nice mix of players with different strengths, different balances that are all going to be fighting for that role also. And so, you know, the starting three, I think, is also important because I think it tells you what the Bulls are going to do. You can go offense with Kevin Huerter, who actually, per the numbers, wasn't a bad defender for the Chicago Bulls. I don't know how much that's going to maintain over the course of a full season, but he wasn't a bad defender at all for the Bulls, actually. He was actually a really good connective guy as well with passing and things like that. You have Isaac Okoro, the guy you just traded Lonzo Ball for, to come into this team and what he brings defensively and shooting-wise. Of course, there's some doubts around him and exactly what he is going to be offensively, right, with creating off the dribble or being in a more up-tempo system. And then you got Io, whereas Io's not necessarily looked at as the most traditional small forward, but he can play small forward. And especially under Billy Donovan, would not be surprised with him with his defensive ability that he brings there and offensive upside of him having a chance for that small forward role. So there's a lot up in the air for the Bulls. And not, let me not say a lot, because I think a lot of things most things are kind of pretty much, you kind of know where they're going to go. But you got those things, the starting three, the 19th spot in the rotation. What does Noah Essanay bring? He didn't do Eurobasket, kind of focus on, you know, getting ready and preparing for the NBA season. So all those things are there. What's going to happen for the Bulls is the biggest question. So let's hope that we can get that together. Let's hope that this team is going to be ready, prepared, and locked in, because if they're not, it's going to be interesting. Now, let's get to a more speculative thing. And that is that the Brooklyn Nets opened up a roster spot. Now, the Nets have kind of already said, and it's already come out, that one of the Nets' plans are is to still be that team that can either be the third team in the trade, that they can absorb some salary, that they can do those type of things. But it has brought about some speculation of, could it be then that that they're opening up a spot for Josh Giddey? Now, this was written by Austin McGee over on Pimp It Ain't Easy, where the whole article wasn't about that. It was about something else. I'm sorry, it was Andrew Hanlon, not Austin McGee, my bad, that asked that. And it was more thrown in at the end of a much larger article talking about something completely different. And, of course, now, as aggregates happen, is that it's now, oh, the Nets. Did you see the Nets? They opened up a roster spot. Could that be for Josh Giddey? The Brooklyn Nets right now have $14 million in cap space. $14 million in cap space, meaning that it's only $3 million more than what the Bulls' qualifying offer could be. Now, sign-and-trade is a little bit different. If they were to try to work out a sign-and-trade with the Chicago Bulls, it could be, you know, they could, of course, get him more than that because they'd be giving up an asset, creating more spot. But then again, half of Josh Giddey's base salary counts in matching. So let's say that he does sign a $30 million contract in the sign-and-trade with Brooklyn, still only $14 million count in a sign-and-trade. So there you have that part of it, right? So that's another aspect. So, and the Nets already said at the beginning of this season that they weren't looking to use their cap space for sign-and-trades. That's literally what they said, and they held true to that. They didn't do any sign-and-trades. People thought that they could be this destination for restricted free agents, or they could be this ploy for Kuminga or Josh Giddey because of their cap space, and they decided to use it in the exact way that they were rumored to use it, and that was to absorb money. They drafted all their draft picks, those type of things. So I don't see that as happening. Part of this job is debunking rumors. I don't see the Brooklyn Nets as being in on the Josh Giddey sweepstakes just because of the situation and what that team has clearly laid out for their future going forward and what they want to do. And that's perfectly fine. And you know, I know that people are naturally looking for what can this outcome be for Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls? What is going to be the outcome? What's going to happen here for a deal to get done or for him to go elsewhere? And naturally you hear that a team that reportedly had interest earlier in the offseason in Brooklyn Nets, and you think, oh, well, could this be for that? I don't think that it is. Now, if it does, something does materialize, of course we'll cover it, and weirder things have happened in the NBA. But I think when you look at the combination of all those things, only half the salary counts towards of Josh Giddey's base salary that he signs counts towards salary matching, therefore, and they're $14 million, therefore, you're probably not looking at him signing a huge contract, right? So if it were a sign-and-trade with the Brooklyn Nets, again, it's permutations to where it could happen, but it's unlikely looking at the logistics of it. So there you go there. And so I think you just got to watch for this thing. Like I said, like as it stands right now, I think the most likely options are they're either going to come to terms on a shorter-term deal, 3 years, maybe plus one, those type of things with player option in the fourth year, something like that. Or it's going to be, a holdout in training camp, him just not having a contract until they negotiate one. Or as we get closer to the October 1st deadline, I think the qualifying offer is still an option. I just don't personally think it's going to be a major one that's here. I don't think that's likely at all. I know, you know, there are a lot of Josh Giddey, you know, I'll call them more stands than fans, because I think there are a lot of reasonable Josh Giddey fans. But the stands are like, oh, he's clearly going to take the qualifying offer. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like I said, I just don't know if that's going to happen, because in my mind, if that was going to be the option that he would go and the route that he would go, that probably would have happened already with the Bulls not budging off their deal. But as you get closer, and like I said in the first segment, all it takes is him to have one meeting sitting down with his agent, and his agent saying, yeah, I talked to the Bulls yesterday. I mean, things are still the same. And for it to just be like, fuck it, let's take the qualifying offer, let's rock out, and we're going to see what the future holds for that. We shall see. But let me know what you guys think down below as far as the Josh Giddey situation. I know a lot of guys are tired of talking about it, and I can't blame you at all. Are tired of talking about the Josh Giddey thing, because at this point, and that's not a knock on Josh Giddey. At this point, though, it just becomes about, let's just get something done so we can move on. Like I just want to be able to talk about training camp, and I want to talk about this team being ready and prepared to lock in. That's what I want to talk about. It's the lock-in. Bulls fans want to lock in. I want this team to lock in, and let's just get ready for the season. Let's try to accomplish some shit. But with that said, one of the things that was talked about, now this was an article written by Austin McGee, is regards in Mitchell Robinson and potentially being a target for the Chicago Bulls. Now, I have my thought process on it, right? And I think that Mitchell Robinson does offer some of the type of play style that you want from your center with this version of the roster. In no way in hell, even despite Mitchell Robinson being 27 years old, though, am I locking in for Mitchell Robinson to be my center of the future? I'm just not doing that. Now, I could see if you're able to get Mitchell Robinson on a more team-friendly contract, which reportedly the Knicks are fine extending Mitchell Robinson, but they do want a more team-friendly contract for him, and he may, if he's going to take a more friendly contract, may want to go elsewhere. Now, the Knicks are much ahead of the Chicago Bulls as far as where they plan, what they plan to compete for, what their goals are into next season, and you have to take that into consideration. But he's only played in 337 games across seven seasons. When you look at it, the last two seasons, he's played a total of 48 games in the last two seasons combined. He hasn't played a game of over 60. He hasn't played a season of over 60 games played since the 2021-22 season where he played 72. He's only had 3 years of his NBA career where he's played over 60 games. That's his rookie year, his second year, and then his fourth year in the league. Everything other than that has been 31, 59, 31, 17. So because of the injury things of Mitchell Robinson, I'm not willing to give big money, long-term money, or bet on him to be the center of the future for the Bulls at all. Now, if it came down to at the trade deadline, the Knicks are realizing, all right, we're not going to re-sign Mitchell Robinson. We're going to shop him. If the Bulls became one of the teams that are interested in that, I'm all for that. But in the framework of he's not your center of the future, you still have to go out and get a guy that's going to be your center of the future where maybe they're playing a year. Maybe 2 years behind Mitchell Robinson. But even if then, because of Mitchell Robinson and how he does not play a lot, you still need to carry a decent center on your roster, be that Zach Collins, or as we talked about, I still can see, and I even think Nikola Vucevic's recent comments on the Bulls front office, to me, that says that Nikola Vucevic, there's an opportunity for him to sign a contract extension here, which I told you guys, you heard it here first. I said that back like 6 months ago. Don't be surprised if the Bulls don't move Vooch by the end of this contract. He signs an extension with the Bulls. But with that said, you have to do that too. I'm all for Mitchell and what he brings skill set wise when he's actually on the court. Never a big time scorer, a really good shot blocker, almost two blocks he averaged for his career. When you look at how seldom he's on the court, he only averaged 17 minutes per game last season and still averaged over a block per game. Yeah, he brings some of that rim protection that the Bulls theoretically do. No, not theoretically, that the Bulls need on their roster. The question is just, can you weather it? And I, for one, don't like the Bulls giving up big-time assets for a player that has already shown major injury concerns over the course of his NBA career. And so because of that, I'd be a little bit wary about it. But it's one of those things where if it did happen, I wouldn't want to see it necessarily happen in a trade unless you're able to just give up the scraps and expiring deals to players you know you're not going to keep, and then you negotiate with them offseason. But if it's a team-friendly contract, if it's something where he signs near or a little bit above the mid-level exception, keep in mind, with the Bulls having the most cap space in the league next season, they can just sign them outright. So I think that's a thing that you're looking for there. And we'll see which option, if Mitchell Robinson is even in the Bulls target list, which is another question. But all right, let's get into the last thing for today. We do have one voicemail that we want to play, and this one is from Korn.
What's the good word, King Drip? It's your brother Korn. Apologies for the lateness, but let's get right into this shit right here. Let's speak on Kobe. Kobe White, let's have a conversation. For me to believe in Kobe, and I know people going to be like, Korn, you fucked up. You keep on moving the totem pole when it comes to Kobe. We know that how you feel about Kobe. You want to trade Kobe, all this. But just listen here. For me, to give Kobe, now I know Drip, you're going to say, oh yeah, we still got enough money, we could pay him $30, $40 million. And I heard you on the last episode saying that all he got to do is score one more basket or go to the foul line and he'll be one of the top scorers. If he scores 25, all that, get it. I'm going to give you one more, that something that he has to do this year for me. Now, people go, oh, you wrong, Korn, but nah, fuck that. Because how depleted the East is of stars, for me to be comfortable, signing Kobe White to a long-term deal as a starter, he got to make the All-Star team this year. I mean that shit. He got to make the All-Star team this year. The reason why, Tyrese Halliburton is out, Jason Tatum is out, Damian Lillard is gone. The East don't have that many stars now. It's pretty weak when it comes to that. And we crowning him number 12, you know what I'm saying, shooting guard. We looking for this big year, okay. If Kobe's going to be the primary scorer, if we hoping for that big year, I hope that he makes the All-Star team this year. And if he does, I'm on board for it. I'm jumping right on the bandwagon because I want him to succeed. Let me get this out the way before everybody be like, oh, no, you just want Kobe. No, I do not want Kobe to fail. I just have some issues believing in him as much people do. I have more belief in Modest than I have more belief in Kobe. I have more belief than Josh Giddey than I have more belief in Kobe. I have more belief than a lot Ayo Dosunmu. I could just keep going. But for me to get on this bandwagon, to me to be like, all right, Kobe, he has to make the All-Star team this year. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, Drip, but that's how I stand. I stand with it. All right, now, y'all. Appreciate y'all. See Red Nation. I know some of y'all gonna get on y'all feelings, but it is what it is. Blessings.
All right. So here's my thing, Korn. I think calling an All-Star being a requirement to re-sign Kobe White, I think that's bad business. A, because it's so many variables that go into team to a player being an All-Star. Yes, we've seen All-Stars come from teams that don't have the most amazing record. So that's definitely a possibility. It has to have a big season, but it's not out the realm of possibility that Kobe can be an All-Star, even if the Bulls' record isn't necessarily the best, right? But there are other variables as far as how many games on national TV. All-Star voting hasn't been positive for the Bulls because we're not on national TV a lot and because of the reputation around the team. So, you know, I think that that's a thing. Now, if he does, if he averages over 25 points per game, that All-Star is absolutely on the table for Kobe White. Now, as far as you say you have more belief in Modest and Ayo than Kobe, to me, that's another one of those things where you're a prisoner of the moment. Kobe has proven more than all those players up until this point. And you know, some of that, like the Josh, I noticed I didn't mention Josh Giddey, but I think it's because he's had more opportunity to play his game more than Josh Giddey has over his career. But even though Josh Giddey's had times of playing his game, especially last season with the Bulls, but Kobe has proven more than all those guys. And he's done so with his role changing each and every year. Your doubt around Kobe is not the thing that's questionable here. I think a lot of people have doubt around locking in Kobe and all that. But like I said, looking at the numbers, he's in the top 10 to 12 for the shooting guard position in every category. And the ones that he's not in the top 10 for, he's not that far out of. Kobe White can get that contract. Now, if you said 40 million. Now, if he gets up to 40 million, that's crazy. Now, I think we've heard around 30, 32. I think that's reasonable for what Kobe's done. But like I said before, Kobe also has to prove what can you do now as the number one scorer coming into the season, and what do you do based off that? I just think that the biasness that you have for Kobe shows. But I can't say that it's completely unfair. I think it's a little ridiculous in some areas, but I can't say it's completely unfair because I think a lot of this team has things that they need to prove this season. So we'll see what happens there. But let me know what you guys think on all that down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Break. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.